All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 6 through 10 to start with. And then you might as well crack your knuckles, stretch your fingers, because I've got a lot of verses to turn to tonight. So you're going to write them down or you're going to turn with me. All right. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 10 to start. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do ask that you would, again, bless our time together tonight. Bless the reading of your word. And Lord, I ask that you would guide us through the scriptures. Pray that you speak to our hearts in a very special way tonight. Again, Father, we thank you for the day that you gave us. Just another day to live life, another day to enjoy life, another day to walk with you through this life. Father, I ask that you would bless our time together tonight. We want it to be fruitful. Father, we want to walk away with things that you've spoken to our hearts about. Lord, answers that you've given us, maybe prayers, giving us direction, Lord, in our life, and just giving us the wisdom that we need. And we thank you that all wisdom comes from you. And Father, we can ask you for wisdom. You'll give it to us. Father, I just ask that you would, as always, help Christ to be lifted up. And I pray that you'd be glorified in everything that is said and done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want you to think about, as we look at these verses tonight, we're going to look at, because in verse, if you look at verse number 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And Paul is trying to encourage the church at Corinth that they have something very special in their life. They have somebody in their life that will help them. And then he goes on to, even in verses 8 and 9, give his own personal testimony of things that are going on in his life. And yet he gives the answer for everything that he faces, which is the light that shines within him. When you look at verse number 6, just to start with, he says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Again, he's referencing creation. He's referencing when the Lord spoke light out of darkness. And he says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You think about the fact that light reveals and light guides. And as Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, he wants them to be reminded they have something very special in their life. They have the light of Christ in their life. And it is in and through Jesus that we can receive the divine light, the light of Christ, the one that shines in our life, the one that gives us direction in our life, the one that reveals things in our life, the one that helps us to walk in this dark world, because we're no longer the children of darkness, but we're the children of light. We walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. So as Paul mentions to the church at Corinth, reminding them that it's God that has shined this light in their heart, this light being the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to encourage them in the fact that God has obviously a purpose for each of our lives, and he will guide us through our life regardless of the trials, regardless of the difficulties that we face, regardless of whatever may happen in our life. We have the very one in our life that truly is, I'll say, the brightest flashlight in the world. I mean, again, you know, I love flashlights. I love finding the brightest flashlight, but nothing compares to the light of Christ, because it is so bright that it shines above the noonday sun. As Paul is on the road to Damascus, and the Bible specifically says He gives the time at noon that the glory of the Lord shone brighter than the noonday sun, the time of day that Christ came to Paul. So just you think about the glory of his light that shines above the brightness of the sun. It's the same light that can shine in the spiritual darkness of our world to help guide us and direct us according to his will and to our victories as well. And we'll look at those in a minute in verses 8 and 9, truly, which are victories that he gives us. Well, as you think about this divine light in our life, when you look at verse number 7, all right? Verse number 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He calls it a treasure because it really is a treasure. To have the light of Christ in your life truly is the greatest treasure that you can have. Again, from the beginning, men have tried just building wealth, getting as much as they can. People believe that, you know, the more you have, then the more you look successful. If you've got the latest technology, if you've got the brand new truck, the brand new car, the biggest house. But the greatest treasure is the light of Christ. And as he says in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Think about the earthen vessels. Think about you. You are the earthen vessel. I'm the earthen vessel. And this treasure we have it in a vessel that's decaying, a vessel that's flawed, a vessel that's weak, a vessel that's broken, that's imperfect. Yet we have this great treasure that the Lord has chosen to put in this vessel, like he says in verse 7, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Sometimes we think that if we were more perfect, if we didn't have any problems, then we would be better off. But if everything was perfect in our life, we would have no purpose for God. We would not seek God. We would not rely on God. And in verses 8 and 9, Paul mentions things that we would understand, things that we can relate to. And it's through our difficulties, it's through the life that we have that Christ can shine the brightest in our life. This earthen vessel that needs the help of the Lord, that we're not perfect, we're not sinless, we have faults, we have struggles, yet we have the greatest treasure in us, Jesus Christ, who can help us through the difficulties of life. And when you think about it, that's really the title of the message tonight, taken from verse number 7, this treasure in earthen vessels. We have something so near to us that is the answer for everything we face in life, and it's Jesus Christ. It's right there. I mean, sometimes, you know, for instance, we have our grandson with us tonight, and we love the fact that, you know what, we have the opportunity to get him whenever we want, giving the parents a break. Not even giving them a break, it's just like, you know, we'll take him, you know, we'll take care of him. And we're just, you know, a few miles away where we can go and get our grandson and take care of him and love on him. But you know what? The Lord's a lot closer than that. The Lord is always like right there with you. He doesn't have to travel to get to you, to take care of you and to love on you. He has the answers available all the time right there for you. So as Paul writes to the church of Corinth, he's reminding them of the fact that, you know what, we are made of dust. The Lord remembers our frame is but dust. He knows we're fragile. He knows we're imperfect. He knows that sometimes we are broken vessels that need to be healed. We're the clay in the potter's hand. He's the one that forms us. He's the one that creates us into the image of Christ. He's the one that helps us each and every day of our life. And as he says in verse 7 again, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This treasure that we have, the excellency of the power of Christ in our life, the excellency of the power of Christ in our life. I want you to think about a couple of things. Number one, why would he choose an earthen vessel? Why would he choose a vessel that's broken? Why would he choose a vessel that's flawed? Why would he choose a vessel that struggles? And he gives the answer right there so that the excellency of his power may be shown, that it's not of us. We're not the ones that are making our life better, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ in us, the excellency of the power of God. I want you to take your finger, and I want you to flip around to some verses with me. Go to Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42, as we think about the divine ability of God in our lives, the fact that it's His power. It's the light that shines within us. It's the Lord wanting to do great and mighty things in our life. And if we will allow Him to, we will see victories in our life. We will see great victories where we can look and say, you know what? It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. It's the Lord's compassion. It's the Lord's faithfulness. And again, I would love never to have a problem. I would love never to have to, you know, worry about trials or difficulties, but that's exactly where the Lord wants us to be at times. He wants to walk us through the shadow of the valley of death so that we see His great power in our life, so we see His faithfulness, so that we will continue to learn to trust and to rely on Him and to follow Him. When you think about God's divine ability in our lives, because His power is within us through the Lord Jesus Christ, when you look at Job 42 and look at verse number 2, Job 42 and verse 2. The Bible says, I know that thou canst do everything. This is Job speaking after his trial. After a trial that God allowed into his life. Not because he did anything wrong, but because God wanted to show himself mighty. God wanted Job to learn a great lesson that our life is in God's hands. He can do whatever he wants with our life. But what he does with our life is not for our destruction, though in the midst of Job's trial, he might have thought, you know, it was for his destruction, but Job made it through because God brought him through the trial and blessed him on the other side, and Job says, I know that thou, speaking of God, canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. God can do anything, and no thought can be withholden from him. God has had a great plan for Job's life. And you know the account where God has the conversation with the devil. God's not being tempted. God's not being strong-armed or tricked by the devil. God kind of actually, you know, drew the devil into his purpose, into God's purpose in Job's life, and used the devil to bless Job because God was going to bless Job, and God did. Took him through a fiery trial in his life, but God was faithful to Job. Job did not die of the sickness. Job's heart remained faithful to the Lord. And God's power is shown in the fact that God was in control every step of the way. Even when human eyes looking at it, as Job's friends was looking at Job's life and saying, well, all this is happening because you must have done something wrong. Yet Job had not done anything wrong. God was showing himself mighty in Job's life, and God wants to and does show himself mighty in our lives at different times. Look at Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 13. God speaking here in Isaiah 43 and verse 13 says, yea, before the day was, I am he. And there's none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? God's saying that he is in control. He is sovereign. He is all-powerful. And he works in the lives of people. And no one can stop what God does. Again, tonight it's all about reminding ourselves to trust the hand of God. To trust the sovereignty of God. When we don't understand, know that our life is in God's hands. And he's working it out for good. And God's going to do something great in our life and through the situation that we're in. Though we may find ourselves, as we're going to look at, in different difficult situations where we emotionally are pressed to the breaking point. But God always provides a way of escape. He always gives peace. He always gives rest to his children when they trust in him and rely on him and just allow themselves to completely rest in the joy and peace of the Lord. Yeah, I want you to go back to Psalm 115, one more place. Psalm 115. I don't know how anyone's week is really going, but we know that sometimes we have rough weeks. And you get to the middle of the week, you get to Wednesday, that's considered hump day, over the hump of the week, and looking forward to, you know, the week coming to an end if it's been a bad week. You know what? Even if it's been a bad week, even if you have a bad week, on Wednesday you're just, you're counting the days, you're counting the minutes until the weekend when the week, work week is done. You can still have joy and peace in the middle of the week. Even no matter what is going on, you can still have the joy of the Lord. Because again, it's the light of Christ that shines within us. Again, pointing us to the truth, pointing us to the truth that Christ is in us and Christ is for us and Christ is guiding us. In Psalm 115, look at verse number 3. The psalmist says, "But our God is in the heavens." Again, the psalmist reminding us where our God is. He's not in this world. He's not of this world. He's not a worldly God. He's not an earthly God. He's a heavenly God. He's an eternal God. His throne is in heaven. And even though things may be over our head, we may feel like at times we're sinking, yet it's still under God's feet. God's still in control. We can still look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. But our God, the psalmist says, is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. See, as the psalmist says, the Lord has done whatsoever he's pleased. Whatever has pleased the Lord, he's done it. You think about it, pleased the Lord that he worked in the life of Job the way that he did. Now again, looking through human eyes, we would think, why would God allow such tragedy in Job's life? Why would God allow such heartache in Job's life? Why would he allow such difficulty for Job to continue to grow in his faith and to realize that God is sovereign, God's in control, God has thoughts of peace towards him, towards us, for an expected end, and God blessed him. Again, you already know, most of you already know that when I read a book, I love to read the back of the book first to see how it ends. And you think about, that's the great thing about the Bible. We see how everything ends in the lives of people that are in Scripture, and we can see where God used it to bless Job. And it reminds us that God blesses us. God has a great treasure within each of us that are his children, the light of Christ, to guide us through this world, to help us to be reminded that God is in control, and that even when we are facing, as we're going to look here in verses 8 and 9, persecution, even when we feel like we're pressed out of measure, like Paul says, even when we feel like that we're cast down, yet even though we may feel like that, we can still have victory in the midst of those feelings because we have the greatest treasure on the inside of us. I want you to go back, if you would, and look at 2 Corinthians 4 and look at verse 7 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You look at verse 7 again, he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Again, God has chosen broken vessels like us. He's chosen imperfection, imperfect vessels like us. He's chosen us so that his power will rest upon us. We can see his glory in our lives, his grace in our life, his favor in our life. You found favor in the eyes of the Lord as a child of God. And you notice he says, Paul says to the church, "and not of us." What happens when we find ourselves supplying our own needs? What happens when we make things happen? I've told you before that a surgeon that we know that has operated on many of our children over the years, he would always say, "I'll just make it happen." When we would talk to him about the upcoming surgery and the procedure and already been through it a few times, knowing what was going to happen, yet he would always say, "I'll just make it happen. We'll just fix it." And I would always pray, my wife and I would always pray, "Lord, please help him. He's a good surgeon, but he can't make anything happen. Lord, guide his hands, guide the scalpel, allow the surgery to be a success." If we ever find ourselves at a place in our life where we will just make things happen and we stop relying on the Lord, that's where we find difficulty. That's where we find ourselves hitting brick walls and just struggling because we're not allowing the Lord to guide us through the life that he's given us. Again, he's given us a life to enjoy. He's given us wonderful things to enjoy, but he wants us to enjoy it as we walk with him, as we trust him, as we follow him, and we are blessed with his presence in our life. When you think about, we need to have a dependency upon God. We need to keep our dependence upon God. Now, you may be very good at things that you do, and God's gifted each of us with different gifts, but we've got to remind ourselves, they're the gifts of God. They're the talents of God. And without God helping us, we cannot perform anything in this life. I want you to look at three different places with me. Three different men who talk about dependency upon God. Look at Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Because the human nature is to just try to make it work. To try to come up with the solution without seeking God's wisdom. We all do it, and sometimes it works out, and sometimes it doesn't work out. But when God's involved, it always works out the best, when it works out according to God's will. And God's given us this wonderful treasure within us, his presence, to help us along the way. Again, so the power is obviously not of us, it's our dependency upon him. In Jeremiah chapter 10, if you look at verse 23, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, Jeremiah speaking here, Jeremiah was a prophet of the Lord. He was someone that was hated. He was someone who never saw one convert in his ministry. The years that he preached the word of the Lord to God's people, he found himself thrown in prison. He found himself hated. He found himself people wanting to kill him, yet he kept following the Lord. Even though he would find himself sometimes even in despair, yet the Lord would encourage him and just tell him, keep doing what's right. Keep faithful. Keep following me. And Jeremiah says, O Lord, in verse 23, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Again, Jeremiah says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Though people think they know what they want, they know how to make things happen, and they know the direction, yet we really can't even guide ourselves without the Lord helping us, without the Lord directing our steps. And Jeremiah says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We think we're going in the right direction. We think we're making the right choices. But again, if you're like me, you've made choices that you have regretted. You've made choices that didn't work out the way that you thought they were, that you thought they would, and you kind of wish that you could go back and change it, make a better decision. But obviously, God never steers us the wrong way. God never makes a mistake. That's something we have to remind ourselves and encourage other people with, is God never makes a mistake. Why do good things happen to bad things happen to good people? You know, God never makes a mistake. Bad things happen because of sin. God's not the author of sin. But I'm thankful he's the author of salvation. I'm thankful that he is the author of faithfulness. And he is the author that has all power and has your best interest in mind. Jeremiah says, it's not in us to even direct our steps. We don't know our future. We try our best to plan for the future, but without God's help, we can't even get to that place that we really need to be at. I want you to look at John chapter 15. I want you to look at the words of Christ. John 15. If you can't trust anybody, you can definitely trust the words of Jesus Christ. Your Savior, my Savior, the Son of God, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. In John chapter 15, in verse number 5. I might have said 15, but 15, chapter 15, and verse number 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. For without me, ye can do nothing. And some people may think, well, I know a bunch of people that aren't following God, that are doing their own thing, and they seem to be successful. They seem to just have everything that they need, and it just seems like they never have any problems. You know, there are those that seemingly are that way. You know what? The Bible teaches us that that is their treasure. They have their life without Christ. But you know what? I have found that the blessings are far greater when you follow the Lord, when you allow the Lord, when you realize, you know what? I really can't do anything, because without the Lord, I don't know how to plan for my future. Because my future and your future is eternity. How do I live my life as I get closer to eternity? How can I have my life count for something that really matters? What kind of legacy can I leave behind me that would help others see my faith in God? Would be able to help others be pointed to Christ? You know, Paul had a great testimony when he wrote to Timothy. At the end of his life, he told Timothy, I have finished my course. I've ran the race. I have finished what God's told me to do. And Paul just had confidence. He had no regrets. Have you ever had regrets in your life? Have you got to the end of a year and had regrets of things you did or things you didn't do? Because once the time passes, you can't go back and redo it. Whatever you might have not done yesterday that you wish you would have, you don't get yesterday back. And you can try to do what you wanted to, but it just, if you've ever tried that, it just isn't the same. Once the time passes, it just isn't the same. And as Jesus says, for without me, ye can do nothing. Why would we want to continue living life without Christ? Without allowing him, again, you may be saved tonight, you may be a Christian, you may believe in your Bible, but I know some that are all those things and yet they still don't follow Christ. They don't let Christ lead them. And they find themselves in difficulties, they find themselves in hardships, they find themselves completely buried by the pressures of life instead of walking with the one who can give them peace through the storm. Again, Jesus says, for without me ye can do nothing. And obviously, Jesus being truth, we can definitely believe what he says. You know what? If the Lord says I can't do anything without him, then I definitely want him completely in my life. Peter said this way. On the night that Jesus was going to be crucified, and Jesus took his robe off, and he got down and was washing the disciples' feet, giving that great example of being a servant. I mean, the Son of God stooping down, washing the dirty feet of the disciples, giving that great example. And he came to Peter, and Peter said, you're not washing my feet. Because Peter knew, you're the Son of God. There's no way. And the Lord said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. And Peter said, okay, then wash all of me. You know, Peter just was zealous about it. And that's the way we should be. We should want all of God in our life. Because we cannot do anything without him. We can't make sound decisions. We can't have peace and joy in our life without the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, another place where Paul speaks. 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, and look at verse number 5. As Paul writes to the church at Corinth here, he says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. He says, our sufficiency is not of us, all right, but our sufficiency is of God. We're complete in Christ. God has everything that we need, whatever it is. You need a sound mind. You need peace in your mind and your heart. You need some joy. You need some wisdom, you need some discernment, you need some direction in your life. Because there are times in our life where we don't understand what's going on. And the Bible tells us not to lean upon our own understanding, but allow God to direct your steps. Allow God to guide you, but we have to trust him. And sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes it is hard. to trust the Lord in different situations. But the Holy Spirit that's in us, that treasure that we have in this earthen vessel, reminds us the one who called light out of darkness, the one who separated light from darkness in the beginning, is the same one that's in you that can lead you through the valley, that can lead you through the shadow of the valley of death and bring you out on the other side being blessed in great ways. Look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verses 8 and 9. Because as in the previous verses, as Paul talked again about just the treasure we have in the earthen vessel, the power of God within us, and that it is the power of God, it's not us, it is God being our sufficiency, God is everything we need, he supplies our every need. And just in case the people at Corinth, just in case anybody there who didn't really know Paul questioned Paul's motive or questioned whether or not Paul even knew what he was talking about. Because again, sometimes, you know, when someone's trying to encourage us, we think, well, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't know my life. You don't know the things I'm struggling with. You know, you need to be in my shoes to understand. Verses 8 and 9, Paul kind of lets the people know he's not just speaking, but he's speaking by experience. Experience that God truly does come through for his people. Not always the way that we would like him to. Not always taking the problem away or taking the trial away, but being with us in the midst of the trial. Paul says in verse number 8, we are troubled on every side. We're troubled on every side. You ever been troubled on every side? You ever felt like, you know, the walls were just closing in? You just felt like, you know, everywhere you turned, you were hitting a brick wall. It just seemed like they say, you know, it's in the mail. It's just, you're having a good day, and then the next day, it just seemed like nothing's going right. Now, Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We have the trouble on every side. I mean, everywhere we turn, there's trouble, but we're not distressed about it. We're not allowing ourselves to be stressed out about it. We're not allowing ourselves to give up. We're not allowing the trouble around us to crush us. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, another place that Paul speaks here in this same letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Again, troubled and not distressed, not allowing the trouble around you to affect you negatively. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5, here Paul says, For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. And then he says how they were troubled. Without were fightings. Outside the church, there were fightings, people against them. And then he says, within were fears. So on the inside of the church, among the believers, there were fears, and that was troubling them. On the outside with fightings, those that were against the things of God. Because remember, when you read through Paul's epistles and his letters, and you even read through the book of Acts, you find everywhere Paul went, he was met with trouble. But he didn't allow the trouble to get his focus off of what God had given him to do. God had given him a great ministry, and he knew that he was in those certain places for a purpose. And we have to remind ourselves that where we're at is for a purpose. God has us right where we're at. The family that you're in, the marriage that you're in, the job that you're in, the neighborhood that you're in, you're there for a purpose, for the light of Christ to shine through, for people to see, you know what? We are just human. We're not superhuman. We're not super Christians. Sometimes Paul is lifted up among people as a super Christian. Like, well, you know, Paul is a super Christian. I mean, all the things he went through. Look, we go through the same things too. I may not have ever been, on a ship for 14 days without the sun, as we're told in the book of Acts. You know, Paul was a prisoner on a ship headed to Rome, and there was this great storm. And for 14 days, the sun had not shone. Everyone had lost hope. In the darkness, they had lost hope. And yet the Bible records that Paul was down under in the cabin spending time with the Lord. And he comes up where all the other prisoners, where all the other the sailors are, where the Roman guards are, and tells them, be of good courage, because the Lord has spoken to me tonight. No one's life is going to be lost. So people are looking at the storms that we're in, and it's okay to have a storm in our life, because that is exactly where God does some of his greatest works in our life, is in the midst of the storm as we look to him. So Paul, as Paul says, troubled on every side, yet not distressed, not allowing ourselves to be affected by it, though the trouble's real, yet it doesn't have to affect us to where we lose hope in the Lord. Look at Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. I know many Christians are struggling. And honestly, it's part of life. The struggles are part of life. It's part of the curse on this world. The whole reason why Jesus Christ came and shed his blood and laid down his life was so that you and I could have peace. Peace that our sins are paid for, yes, and we have a place in heaven, but to have the joy of the Lord in the midst of trouble, to have peace in the midst of trouble, because we have that treasure in earthen vessels. We have Jesus Christ, who's taken his place in our life to help us. In Proverbs chapter 18, look at verse number 10. Here the writer says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. What does that mean? It means God's people trust in the name of the Lord. And he has many names. You go through the Bible. He's our Redeemer. He's our Savior. He's our Deliverer. As David puts it in the Psalms, he's my high tower. He's my buckler. He's my shield. He's my salvation. He's my horn. I mean, all the things that David mentions that David understood and the people of his day would understand. I mean, you understand a strong tower, you know, a city in the days of David, even medieval times, where a city was being attacked and people would run into this strong tower that was almost invincible. You couldn't get through it. And people trusted in it. That's really how we should trust in the name of the Lord. You notice the Bible doesn't say trust in the hand of the Lord, but in the name of the Lord. Because your God can do anything. You know, many times you read in the Gospels, in Jesus, there were many times where he would touch somebody to heal them. He would touch the blind and they would see. He would lay his hands on a man with leprosy and he would be cleansed. Nobody else would touch a person with leprosy, but Jesus would touch the leper and he would be cleansed. But sometimes Jesus just spoke, didn't he? And said, according to thy faith, you're healed. He even told one person, go home, your daughter's made whole. You know, he would just speak. You know what? When you trust in the name of your God, then you know that at any given moment you can just breathe the name of Jesus. Because there may be times where you can't really articulate a sentence or a phrase to the Lord of what's troubling you, but just to be able to say, Jesus, help. Just a quick. I'm glad that there's no special prayers you have to say to get all the words right. Because let me tell you, I would forget words. So my prayers would never get answered if I had to articulate certain sentences for God to hear. But just to be able to say, Lord, help. Because God sees us. He knows our difficulties. He knows our struggles. He knows what's going on in our life even before we do. And when we find ourselves troubled on every side, we can trust in the name of the Lord. We can call upon our Lord, and he will be there and answer us. Again, go back, if you would, at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse number 8 again. As he says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Paul says we're perplexed. We're bewildered. We're puzzled at the things that are going on, but we're not in despair. We're not hopeless. We haven't lost our hope in the Lord. We're perplexed. I mean, Paul, again, Paul is a human that He had these same emotions. I mean, Paul even talked about the things I would do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, I do. I mean, he talks about the struggle. But he always points to Jesus Christ. He always points to the one that gave him the peace and gave him the victory and helped him through and helped himself not to become overwhelmed. I understand fear is real. Temptation is real. Sometimes we can get gripped with fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of what the doctors told us, a fear of uncertainty. And I understand, I mean, again, the devil uses tactics to try to get our focus off the Lord. Fear is real. I mean, again, the struggle is real. The things we face are real. But we got to remind ourselves, he's a lot realer. That's a correct word. No? She's my English teacher over here. But you think about, no matter how real the struggle is, how bad the circumstance, we have to remind ourselves the name of the Lord. He's my Redeemer. He's my God. No matter what I'm facing, he can handle it. He hasn't been caught off guard. He wasn't sleeping when he should have been watching us and protecting us. He's always watching and waiting for us to turn our eyes to him and say, Lord, what do I do? Lord, what do you want to do in this situation? How should I handle it? Lord, you know I feel perplexed. You know I'm troubled. You know, Lord, just fear is wanting to grip me, but I trust you, Lord, because perfect love casts out fear. Fear has torment, but the love of God can help us to be calm. The love of God can help us to stay focused. I love the man that was possessed with demons, the demoniac of Gadara, a man who was completely out of his mind, insane, living among the graveyard, cutting himself, out of control. Nobody could help him. But when you read the account in Scripture, when Jesus came into his life, he was completely changed. The townspeople came out and saw the man they knew was the maniac sitting, clothed in his right mind. Complete peace in his life. Peace that he needed, peace he could not get himself, but Jesus came to him and gave him that peace. And that's exactly what the Lord wants to do in our life. He doesn't want us to be out of our mind with the circumstances of life or what we're facing. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to run to him. He wants us to call upon him. Perplexed, but not in despair. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. A few more minutes here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 13, then we'll go to John chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Have you ever thought that no one else has the struggles that you do? And no one else is attacked like you are by the devil? No one else has the problems you do? Well, the Bible tells us, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. I love that. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you, listen, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Have you ever felt like you were at your breaking point? You ever felt like, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm going to snap. I'm going to break. And the Lord won't let you. Again, many times he's stretching our faith. We think we're going to break, and yet the Lord says right here, because if you're a child of his, he's faithful to you. He's not going to allow you to be damaged. He's not going to allow you to break. You may feel like it because we're human, but again, we have Christ in our life. We have that treasure in earthen vessel. Again, the vessel, the earthen vessel that sometimes is broken, it's fragile, yet we have the power of Christ in us that helps us. Again, he says, tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. If you've ever came out of a trial where you felt like you were about to break, you felt like, man, if the Lord doesn't stop it, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then the Lord brings you through it. And some time goes by and you reflect back on that situation, you think, man, God was good. God brought me through. You know what? I'm still alive. God is still working in my life. Because God, that's something that every person has to understand. God loves us so much that he's active in our lives. Not in the way that we think he should be, but in the way that's right for us. Takes us through the fires. Takes us through the floods. But he never lets us be burnt. He never allows us to be drowned. Though there are times where you might feel like you are drowning. You feel like, you know, you barely can keep your head above water. Yet the Lord's the one that's keeping your head above water. He's the one that's helping you. But again, sometimes he allows us to feel that way so that we will call upon him, so that we will trust in his name, so we will cast our cares upon him. Sometimes he allows those things so that we will see that, you know what, I really do need the Lord. I can't do this alone. Look at verse number 9, if you would. Well, go to John chapter 14. I told you to go to John 14 and verse 18. And I'll be honest, too, this message tonight is just as much for me if anybody else. Because we all are human and we all have struggles in our life. My struggles are probably different than yours. Yours are different than mine. But again, we're still human. Where there's just times where the Lord really stretches. We're all growing at different rates. God's working on each of us in different ways. Stretching us, molding us more into the image of Christ, strengthening our faith, helping us to become more resolved in ourself, to rely on him, to trust him, to faithfully walk with him. In John chapter 14, you look at verse 18, and Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, as he said that, he was speaking to the disciples. He was telling the disciples he was leaving. He was about to be crucified. He was headed to Jerusalem. He was going to lay down his life. And he was telling the disciples, you know, don't be sad. Don't let your hearts be heavy. He said, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you the comforter. And he says, I will come to you because he's the comforter. He's the one that comforts us in our life. And Jesus says, I won't leave you comfortless. I will comfort you. So when you think about Paul's life back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when Paul says, perplexed, but not in despair. Paul says, I was perplexed, I was puzzled, I was bewildered about why things were happening, but I was not in despair because my hope was in the one who was comforting me. My hope is in my Lord and Savior. You know, as you think about Paul's life, on the road to Damascus, I'm sure Paul thought about that time often. You ever thought about the day of your salvation? You ever thought about how good God was to save you? Paul, on the road to Damascus, was a murderer. He was going to haul Christians back to Jerusalem to throw them into jail, to have them killed, because he didn't believe in the way that they were living. He didn't believe in Jesus Christ, but because Jesus Christ loved Paul, he stopped Paul and changed Paul's life. And I want us to remember tonight, if you're a child of God, there's a time in your life where the Lord stopped you as he stopped me and changed my life. So when life gets tough and the devil gets picking on us and making us feel like, you know, we're worthless and, you know what, God doesn't love me and I've made too many mistakes, we have to remind ourselves, as the Holy Spirit will, tap us on the shoulder and say, let's look back at that day that Jesus came into your life. If he didn't love you, he would not have came into your life and changed your life. He would not still be working in your life. So as Paul writes this letter to the church at Corinth, Paul's speaking from experience when he says, perplexed. Troubled, not distressed. Perplexed, not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken, as he says in verse 9. Verse 9, he says, persecuted, but not forsaken. Haven't been forsaken by the Lord. Look at Psalm chapter 9 real quick. I promise, just a few more minutes. Psalm chapter 9, verse 10. David here says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." God never forsakes his children. Those that seek him, he will not forsake. And then Paul says again, he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." These weren't hypotheticals that Paul was talking about. These were things that he personally experienced. Being perplexed, being troubled, being persecuted, being cast down. Not cast down by God, but cast down by people. Let down. People walked away from Paul. Paul was done wrong by people. And Paul says, cast down, but not destroyed. Not destroyed. Look at Isaiah, because I referenced this a minute ago. Look at Isaiah, and I'm going to end with this one. Isaiah chapter 43. Again, this treasure in earthen vessels, the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, guiding you, directing you, establishing your steps, helping you along the way as you trust him, as you look to him, as you allow him to work in your life. In Isaiah chapter 43, you look at verse 1 through 3. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel." Again, as he speaks to the nation of Israel, he speaks to God's chosen people. It applies to us as well. "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine." What a wonderful thing. You've been redeemed. If you're a child of God, you've been redeemed. He's called you by your name. There was a day when the Lord called your name. He called your name. And he continues to call your name as he speaks to you. He says, "Thou art mine." You and I belong to the Lord. We're his children. You know what? We have this treasure in earthen vessel, and we are his treasure. You are his treasure, because you are his child. Verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." All the things that we experience in life, feeling like we're drowning, feeling like we're burning up, feeling like, you know, we're getting to the end of our rope. All of the things that we struggle with and the feelings that we have in our life, the Lord says, "I've redeemed thee, I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine." And then at the beginning of verse 3, he says, "For I am the Lord thy God." We have this treasure in earthen vessels, the Lord in our life, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who guides us through this life, the one who gives us the victories. In the midst of the struggles, we have victory. One more place, Philippians chapter 4. Last place, Philippians chapter 4. Because how is it possible to have victory in the midst of the things that we're struggling with? Being troubled, being perplexed, being stretched out of measure. In Philippians chapter 4, the answer is given. Verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God. That's exactly what helped Paul through his entire ministry and through his life. Not just the ministry, but just through his own personal life. We all have things that we do, jobs, children that we're raising, ministries that we're involved in, and then we have our own personal life outside of those things. And through it all, it's the peace of Christ that helps us to be able to endure. Like Jesus said, we cannot do anything without him because he's the one that gives us the victory, gives us the power, gives us the peace and the joy that even though we're troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. Though we're perplexed, yet we are resting in the Lord because we have this treasure in earthen vessel. Never forget, you have Christ in you, the one who created light out of darkness, the one who created life, the one who's given us life and has given it to us abundantly to help us each and every day. Keep your focus on the Lord. Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Let yourself truly enjoy the life that he's given. Let's have a word of prayer.